B-Pod Studios.
It's time now for the Gargano and Martinez Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez. It starts now.
Pull your head out of your ass!
Oh, my.
So quit asking.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day to all across the Delaware Valley.
Happy Valentine's Day to my wife. I ran out this morning. I get a note from her. What? No goodbye? No happy Valentine's Day? I'm like, woke up a little groggy.
Yes, mentally happy Valentine's Day to all. All right, take care of your loved one. It's a beautiful, heart-shaped day today. And for us, it's going to be different. We're going to do the typical, which I actually enjoy, which is the Philadelphia athlete now and forever that you love and why.
Yeah.
Which I've always enjoyed, because it's always about the player or the coach or the figure that we talk about.
The connection.
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
The connection you draw, because it's not just, hey, I like you because you can throw a fastball 98 and cut.
Right.
Or I like you because you're a fast runner and great on punt returns or whatever. It goes well beyond. Like, it's fun to on this day, too, to kind of park any negativity.
Yes.
You know, park it outside. Let's leave it out there for today. You know, the game
last
night.
We do have a heavy subject that we got to get into.
Yeah.
That's going to be.
It's about your love of the game.
It is. Yeah. It's going to be really difficult to have this conversation.
Yeah. It's not one that you're going to go, well, this is kind of fluffy.
Yeah.
It's real deal stuff. But, you know, it is Valentine's Day. And, you know, you and I are very blessed because we do something we love because we talk about the thing that we love dearly. And that's sports. Like, we love sports dearly. The people that tune into this radio, they love it. Like, it's such a big part.
Yeah,
and in this city, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to talk about individual players and teams and moments and everything. But when you think about it, we just love sports.
That's it. It boils down to that ultimately, we just love sports.
Yeah.
We love everything about it.
Could you imagine, like, not being a sports fan and not having this? Because it fills you up in every part of your soul, mind, and physicality. Everything. Yeah. There's physiological effects to being a sports fan. And, like, to have it and, you know, to be in a city, too, again, like, we're in Philadelphia. We have pronounced seasons of weather, and we have pronounced seasons of sports.
Yeah.
And we're on the rise. So, like, I'm in love with the Philadelphia sports scene right now. Like, you always love it, but are you in love with it? You know what I mean?
Totally.
I'm in love with what's happening and everything. Like, I can't wait for Carson to come back.
Yeah, it's going to be. It's true. Like, you talk about a fun season to look forward to.
Oh.
There's going to be some change.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Carson's team. And there's going to be some additions. He's going to have a wide receiver.
I can't wait to see the running backs.
And the running back. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, and it's funny because when you think about it, that's so far away.
Mm-hmm.
You got, like, I'm enjoying Celtics game aside. And last night, because it became a game against that garbage Knicks team.
Yeah, they were out the door. That's why. You know, it's like, oh, we're at the break. Let's just get this. Let's get out of here.
Well, I mean, like, they get up like 25, and yet again, they allow a team to come back and, you know, whatever. They made it actually somewhat of a game. They got within six last night.
Yeah. Well, to me, that's also the emotion of the night before.
Yeah, they were never going to. I mean, listen. They were never going to blow the lead.
Yeah.
But it is the All-Star break, and they were trying to get out to the All-Star break, and I get that. I understand that. But, you know, I'm in love with this Sixer team, and I'm dying to, you know, we're riding high.
Yeah.
You know, we're riding high throughout the rest of this season. So we got that. We got a Phillies team that's going to be a fun team.
You got to give Klentak we got to give him a little tap on the rear end here. I mean, we don't know about Harper or Machado yet. We don't know. And we know that they're putting their best foot forward.
Yeah, but that's not.
That's Middleton.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even him. Listen, I like what he did. I like what he did with Robertson. I mean, the fact that he made catcher a priority And he knew that you can't go further with Alfaro.
And middle infield with Segura.
Yeah, no.
And getting rid and admitting the mistake of Santana is a big... I think sometimes admitting a mistake is almost better than what you do.
I agree. And the fact that he was able to get rid of Santana in a trade in which which was a net positive the way it was with Segura was really impressive.
Yeah, and now you put Reese in his natural spot. You have him at first base, and everything starts to fall together.
He righted his initial wrong, and he's done well. I mean, I like this team. I like it a lot.
I have always, I think you've heard me say this, because in my life in management, I would always say the guys that I loved working for were the guys that never wanted to double down on a mistake.
Yeah.
They recognized it was a mistake and said, okay, if it's not right, let's just eliminate it. We'll deal with that later. Yeah, but let's get the right thing there, whatever it might be.
I agree. I think you're right about that.
Yeah, that's the difference between a grade A manager and a grade B.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think there's something to it. I agree with that. And he's done a good job, and that's why this team is arcing again in the same way. I think they're going to be... I think they could win the division and almost should win the division if they get Harper. But even without Harper, they're going to be a fun team to watch.
Oh, look, they're improved, incredibly improved from what they were last year. And, like, you talk about, like, loving guys. Like, I really want to, like, get into liking Gabe Kapler. Like, I'm so intrigued by him, but I don't know if I like him yet. Like, I don't know
if
I want
to... Do you think... So, you met the media yesterday.
Yeah.
And... he was asked about that incident in Los Angeles, and he didn't. He basically said, "No, I'm not talking about it." And do you think he should have addressed it?
I think he should have addressed it with some kind of prepared, 30-second answer.
You know, you're going to be asked the question.
Yeah,
it's an investigation that's hovering around you.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm not going to let it, take my eye off what we have to accomplish here at spring training. But, I believe in that I did the right things, and all the information's going to come out, and we'll deal with it then.
Right, it'll be vindicated. Or whatever.
Yeah, just kind of say something, because it is there.
Well, and he does say a lot. That's the problem. Like, he talks a lot.
Yeah, and he talked about his clubhouse is going to be a lot tighter this year and a lot more serious. And, he's a guy I want to fall in love with. But let me ask you, because...
I don't know. I look at him and you know what? I could see you liking him. I don't know. I don't know that you can love Kapler.
Because you had Charlie.
I can't. Like, again, you're right.
Love Charlie.
I mean, that was my man.
Yeah.
Still my guy.
Yeah.
But, listen, you can separate and go, I don't like Kapler a ton, what a great baseball guy. But I think he's so robotic sometimes. Like, he's kind of robotic. Even though he's Mr. Positive, he still does it in an almost like an automatron way.
Like protected? Like, he's got a wall up a little bit?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, are you real?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know what's real and what's not.
Right. So, I don't know. I don't know how close you can get with him.
Yeah. I think he's, like, an interesting case study. And you've said it. Like, I'd love to sit down a couple pops with him and kind of really dig into that brain.
Without a doubt. Like, that would be an interesting conversation. Like, that's a guy I'd like to have a conversation. Like, you look at Brett Brown. Now, he's under a lot of scrutiny in the whole thing.
Sure, yeah.
And I know people go, stop saying it, you love him. But I'm sorry. I make no apologies. I love the man. I think the guy is just a terrific soul.
Yeah.
Like, I do. I think the guy's a great guy.
He's good people.
Yes. And he's a guy that's an easier guy that you could get next to. You can understand. Because
it's relatable.
He's all about the EQ. Doug. Does it get...
Oh.
I mean, seriously, Doug's the ultimate guy.
Yeah.
We talk about the EQ. I mean, that's all Doug.
Yeah, and no wall up with Doug. He is as real as it gets.
Zero. And that, to me, is why he's a great coach.
And it's so endearing. That's what's endearing about it. Like, winning's great, and that makes you endearing in a lot of ways. But the way he carries himself... And, like, I'll go back to after that last game when the cameras caught him standing outside the locker room and hugging every player as they came in. To me, that goes so far. And it's one of those things that a lot of times I'd make fun of.
Right.
Oh, geez, you kidding me? But in that moment, with what they went through, and when you really look at collectively what happened this year, to me, that was like an exclamation point that, like, guys, I always have your back. And guys, and those guys appreciate it. So we'll talk about, the guys that you love right now. Maybe the guy that you love in sports right now is not a Philadelphia athlete. Maybe it's a golfer. that you go, oh my God, I gotta watch this.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a soccer player, maybe it's a tennis player, maybe it's Federer, I don't know.
Well, it's why we all got in trouble, why we fell in love with sports, is you fell in love with the gladiators. You fell in love with the participants.
Yeah, no question. Jeff Passan's going to talk. We're going to check in with him at 11:30 today. Get the latest on everything around the baseball world. Also, we're going to have Carter Hart on. Just waiting on a time right now. They practice at noon today. So on Valentine's Day, we'll talk to a guy that a lot of people are falling in love with, Ant, Carter Hart.
Listen, he's got a great jersey number.
79.
You know, like that's a great jersey number. You know, it's funny because, like, that's a number you can own.
Because nobody else owns it.
Right?
Yeah. Like, 99 when Gretzky came in, it was like, okay. And nobody can touch it ever since.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a good point. And the whole story behind it with the autistic kid.
Yeah.
Who bought the jersey.
Beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. And he honored it. And so we'll talk to Carter Hart at some point.
And I wanted to tell that story for those that didn't hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. We want to hear from people today on what you love, who you love, and why you love.
And that will also recap Sixers at the break and where they're headed. What you think? Now, you had a day to sit on the Celtics game. You saw the Knicks last night. So, heading into the break, where you at with them?
Yeah, you have a day to calm down, right?
I need to know your expectations.
610-632-0975. That's Anthony Gargano. I'm Jason Martinez. This is the Midday Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And if you're like me, well, I think that I know who's going to win every game. Whether it's a NBA game. Yeah, I think I know. Mr. NBA, that's how I got the name. Mr. NHL, that's Devon. But nonetheless, if you don't know, FanDuel Sportsbook has got you covered. You can sign up and place a risk-free bet up to $500 on any game. And if you lose FanDuel Sportsbook, they'll refund your bet up to $500 in site credit. FanDuel has tons of other awesome promos happening all the time. How about odd boost, bet insurance, special bonuses, and more? And there are tons of sports to choose from as well. FanDuel offers some of the most competitive lines around. And if you're sticking Sixers and taking them for the, maybe some futures when you get to playoff time, you can certainly do that. And maybe look at futures even in the NFL here early on, whatever you want to do. Don't forget, you can place a $500 risk-free bet on any sport or game when you use my code Jason. So download the app and bet from anywhere in New Jersey. You can also go to FanDuel.com/NJ and get your action in there as well. And use my code Jason to make your first bet. If you lose, FanDuel Sportsbook will give you a refund insight credit up to $500. You must not have previously placed any wager using your FanDuel Sportsbook account. Refund issued as site credit. Must wager amount equal to site credit before winnings can be withdrawn. Must be 21 or older and present in New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Go to FanDuel.com/NJ for terms and conditions.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Wait a second. Time out. That's his name in the CFL?
Yes, it is.
See, this is why the bro rules. Because did you discover or the bro?
I don't know. I saw it on Twitter and I quote tweeted. So this thing goes around.
Bro's the man when it comes to
he finds this
all
stuff.
Things poo.
He's always mining for gold nuggets. CFL put out a tweet. Defensive tackle Poop Johnson has signed with the Toronto Argonauts.
Oh, my God.
His name is P-O-O-P Johnson.
Oh, my God.
So people are quote tweeting. Like, I quote tweeted. I just said, I'm guessing this guy stinks.
Right.
But
that's classic.
Carl tweets to me. He goes, he's turtable.
Oh, my God. That is great. You know what the best is? Like, that's tough. It's like my Mosmo's in that stage. Right? He's five. He tall. Everything's poop.
Yep. My son grabbed my phone when he was about five and is sitting there. You know how they play with it? And he was doing the voice to text. He could figure that out.
Yeah.
And he sent multiple texts to two people just saying poop. Like seven of them.
So the emoji?
Poop fest.
No. He spelled it. Right? He sent it was like five in a row. It was just poop, 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 poop. And he sent the text to one, John Rocker.
John Rocker?
And the other one would be Billy King.
Come on.
Yes. It's about 8 years ago. And John Rocker texts me back. He's like, who the hell is this?
Oh, my God. That is great.
And Billy, I texted Billy right up. Like, sorry, Billy. You know, we know Billy a long time. You know him forever, but.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's great. Now, Mike Mossmo knows. Like, he texts my cousin Jay. He calls him Uncle Poop. So he calls Joey Uncle Poop. So he texts him that all the time with the emojis.
That's great. 610-632-0975. We're talking about sports love. Okay, so I want to ask you the question. Who's the guy? Who are the collection?
Right now?
Yeah, for you. Yeah. Like maybe two in Philadelphia and then one outside.
So right now, I mean, obviously it's Carson and Ben are the guys that I really love the most.
The eye of your affection.
Yeah. I wanted both of them early. I wanted them to be drafted, right? So yeah. You both had the eye of this, you know, the Carson. Like, I romanticize everything. So, you know, here is this kid from the Dakotas. You know, I had watched The Revenant. So
at that time,
that's where
too.
It all came out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm just imagining that, you know, he was a trapper.
Yeah.
In the Dakotas along the Canadian border, right?
And like, so, every time he breathes, there's like that condensation smoke that comes out.
Correct. Right? So, like, you can see his breath, and but tough, and could throw a football and, you know, cut through a tree.
Farvey,
so that always, that quarterback who was rugged and had the big arm. I've always longed for that quarterback that was the rugged quarterback but had the bullet arm.
Yeah. The guy that wore Wrangler jeans and a denim jacket with a fluffy collar.
Yeah.
You know, that guy.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, not a guy that's out there wearing Gucci. Like, you want, like, this guy that'll, like, pick up a piece of tree and eat it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I like the hunting thing. I thought the hunting thing was, like, you know, your marksmanship.
It lends to it.
Yeah, like, thinking about the game.
Quiet, so like, hunting your prey.
Right. All that stuff is, like, I romanticize all that stuff, so it all comes into play. So he was that guy. And Simmons was always regal. Like I know he frustrates people. And, you know, and I know Boston brings that out in him.
Mm-hmm.
Where they just know how to play and then how to wall them off, and, you know, they sag off of them, and, you know, it frustrates people that he can't hit that shot. Believe me, I get it. I understand. And he should be better from the free throw line. But I keep saying, just wait for him. Just try to be patient, because someday it's going to click. And when it does, it's going to be scary.
Yeah. It's all going to come together.
You know, like, when you watch him. You know, we all watch these high school videos and stuff, right? And then he goes to LSU and you're watching him. And then I'll never forget sitting at summer camp in Vegas, and I'm watching him just warm up, and they're scrimmaging, and like, you see him grab a rebound, and with such fluidity. I remember the first time I saw a coast-to-coast guy was Charles. Like, when Charles
rebound, run the break.
Rebound, yep. And you know what? He get out. He had a great handle, great touch.
Yeah.
And, you know, you watch Simmons do it, and it's almost like he's 6'5", not, you know, almost 7 feet.
Yeah.
And he does it, and he covers the court so quickly. And I'll never forget, like, the some of the passes were like, wow. He felt like a magician.
Yeah, the behind the head.
Whole magic thing is
legit.
Real. Like, that was real. And yeah. I remember seeing all that, and you go, like, you can't teach that. Like, not at that size. That size has to be a matchup nightmare.
Yeah, the body coordination that he has for a 6'10", 6'11" guy is off the chart. It's like he's a 6'2" guy.
Right.
And you're right, the fluidity. And because he's that size, it's three steps. He's down the court. You're like, what?
Remember, yeah, he just has great, great vision, too.
Yeah. Well, remember LeBron had that steal in the playoffs and then the huge dunk. It was a huge moment. It felt like he took two steps and he was jamming it.
Yeah.
Like, whoa,
yeah.
How was that? It's like, it was almost like watching a superhero.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally, yeah. I mean, like, you don't get guys 6'10", 6'11", that are that athletic and fluid. Like,
yeah.
that's outrageous.
Yeah, no question.
When you think about it. So those would be my two guys now.
Okay. Anybody outside? Anybody that, when they're playing,
yeah, there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys out. You know, when I watch, I mean, geez. I mean, I watch Giannis play, and I'm like, holy moly. Like, when you watch him.
It's like a different sport when he plays.
It truly is when you watch him play. And I love watching, you know, I love watching Westbrook. I don't really want him. I wouldn't want him on my team, but I love watching him play.
Because he entertains
you. Westbrook has limitless energy. Mm-hmm. Like, AI had limitless energy. Westbrook even more.
Yeah. If AI played 47 minutes and 30 seconds, he wanted to play the other 30.
Right.
Westbrook's that way.
Same thing. Yep. He's just and Westbrook obviously takes care of himself, so that's the difference between him and AI. Like, he's not
eating crabs in the back of a Bentley.
He's not pounding Coronas.
Rappers.
Right, he's not pounding Coronas and mozzarella sticks, right? Like, he's, you know, Westbrook's taking care of himself, and, I mean, AI's more fun, but Westbrook, you watch him, and he's got limitless energy.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good, there's
but
a good
like,
ones.
Like, you know, you watch Trout play baseball, and it's, wow.
Yeah, that's one of the shames for me, is that Trout's not on the East Coast where, you know, so we could see him more.
Yeah.
He's out there on the West Coast. It's almost like you're tucked away out there, which is unfortunate. Like, some of the great athletes are tucked away in bad places. You know what I mean? Like Trout being in Anaheim, and they're not a team that really contends. You go, man, even if it was on the Dodgers, you know, you'd see him more.
The fact that he's American League.
Yeah.
And American League West. I mean, you couldn't get further from the NL East than the AL West, without a doubt. And then, you know, when we talk about football, I got to tell you, I mean, does watching Patrick Mahomes get old?
No.
I mean, seriously.
Spectacular.
Like, I enjoy watching their games more than anything, just to watch it. You never knew what kind of throw was coming. How about that no-look?
Oh, that was ridiculous.
The no-look throw.
It was Magic Johnson.
That was. It was across the middle. It was a timing pattern across the middle.
Yeah.
And inside slant. He guns it, and it's on the money. It's perfect. It was ridiculous. You never see anything like that.
And it's a no-look in football, which is incredible.
And, you know, coaches are like, all right, you know, chill with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's not make a habit out of that one.
But
it's
so ridiculous. Like, how do you defend that? Yeah. Like, you're a linebacker. You want to read the guy's eyes, and you're like this. And next thing you know, the ball whizzes by your ear.
You go, he's going left. Well, he's going right. What the hell's going on?
He's amazing. I love watching Deshaun Watson play quarterback.
I do, too.
He's really interesting.
He's a worth the price.
And I still love watching Rodgers.
Yeah, I do too. I just wish he had more weapons, you know, to make him more enjoyable. Yeah. Like when he had Cobb and Jordy Nelson and some semblance of a running game. Now, I don't want him to have that because I want the Eagles to be able to
run
the team. But he like that one comeback against the Cowboys that one night, or even opening night when he goes out on the cart and then comes back this year.
Well, dude, you brought up that comeback.
Oh.
How about the throw he makes along the sidelines?
Left sideline?
Wow.
It's amazing. He's an amazing
six
player.
Inches off the ground.
Yeah.
Like, it was a tracer.
Yeah. That's like, a good point, yeah.
You know, like, it was in the only spot where his receiver can go down to his knees, get the knee in, and catch the ball.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean that's accuracy. That's mouse hole accuracy.
Yeah. Personified. 610-632-0975. I'll give you my guys coming up, and I think you might know a couple of them. But let's talk to Mike in Chestnut Hill. He starts us off on the Fanatic. How you doing, Michael?
Hey guys, good morning, and always tremendous. And you know, this is the greatest time to be around. There's so many great young talents that we have in this town. But if you're talking the last 50 years, there's only one place to start. And I know most of your audience probably never saw him play or saw him play in his prime, but, you know, every quality and characteristic that we demand in today's players, you know, the hard work, the intelligence, the discipline, the toughness, started with Bob Clark. He was
unbelievable. Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah.
There's nobody like him. And you know,
about that, Mike, is just people go back to his GM days and that recency that clouds the judgment of the player that he was.
He was clutch.
Yeah.
He was incredible.
Here's what you have to understand, really, because, you know, you'll never be able to recreate what the spectrum was like in the early 70s, but every time he hopped over the boards and on for his shift, a different buzz came on. You knew you were going to get 100%. You knew if you needed something clutch, he was there. He was just unbelievable. And the most incredible quality was he anticipated the game. He knew everything about positioning and toughness. And it was just, you know, you carry those qualities with you, the hard work, discipline. You can't, you know, I can't explain enough how much those are ingrained in the people that got a chance to see him play. He was truly unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a great one, man. You're right. He was amazing. He really was. He was clutch. He was he was hard. You're right. Everything you said was just dead on.
Anybody recent, Mike? I guess not. He's listening to his radio now. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Chris in South Philly on the FedEx. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Great.
Hey, Chris.
Two things. One, Aunt, remember your days back at the box playing basketball with Boo and the Quigley?
Yeah.
but Jay, I heard you say about the Flyers the other day about their record with this when they've been outshot and how it was when they're outshot their record's really not really great. So I paid attention.
No, other way around. When they get outshot, they've been better.
Yeah. That's
okay. Right. Yeah. Okay.
So against the Penguins, they outshot them and lost. Against the Wild, Wild outshot them and they won.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever talk to any players about that and see what their feel of it is? Kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of an anomaly right now because it defies logic in a lot of ways, right? Because if the other team has more scoring opportunities, then they're likely to score more goals. That plays in more when you're getting really good goaltending, and maybe when you're getting good goaltending, the offense is a little looser. In the sense that they're a little more creative because they know that they're getting good goaltending.
Okay.
That's just like a mental thing.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's almost like a pitcher when you're playing behind a good pitcher. You're on point.
Yeah, because you know, like, this pitcher ain't giving up more than two runs, so let's just go out there and have some fun.
Down. Yeah,
and the other thing,
like,
Chris.
It's a really drastic, you know, I think one was 5 wins and one was over 20, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I remember. I mean, I just think that's drastic. But anyway, my players to watch, obviously, and going back was you always want to watch Barkley. You always want to watch Hextall. You always wanted to watch Randall. You always wanted to watch Iverson. I think those four are always.
Yeah, those are kind of the chalk ones, Chris. You know, like,
I mean, when you think about Hextall, though, you know, he was with that. He was artful with the stick.
Yeah, he came in with this brash, you know, hitting the pipes and all that, and then the ability to play the puck, which nobody could do at that time like that.
You know what he did too? Like, you remember, like, I used to love when the Flyers had the lead and the other team would pull a goalie. And he would always go for the goal.
Oh, yeah, and scored two.
Yeah, but he would, and the crowd sensed that he would, you know, he was trying for it.
Yeah.
Can he get the empty netter?
Yeah. Well, like, a lot of players, when they come in, they have, like, this a signature about themselves. And he was, like, a rebel. Like, I'm going to defy a lot of
things. Yeah.
So, when he first came into the league, he wasn't wearing a mask. He wore a helmet and a cage.
Yeah.
And the strap that goes under the helmet, he would always leave hanging. It was like, you know what? No, I don't have to strap my strap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's true.
It's like, I'm a rebel. Like, no, I'm not strapping that. It always hung there.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a superstition, you know, creature of habit type thing for him. And then when he went to the mask, he couldn't do it. But that being said, there's a lot of guys like that. And there's reasons why you identify and you fall in love with guys. And he, you know, his intensity was what made people fall in love with him as a player.
Definitely. Well, he was also, you know, he was a hockey family guy, right? Like, mm-hmm. He comes from a hockey family, Dennis Hextall, all those Hextalls, his uncles, and he was chippy, so he was tough.
Yeah.
Like, he would always win the goalie fight. Like, he would fight.
And he'd go down the other end of the ice, fight Potvin or whoever.
See, that brings us into a subject, a realm. Like, I got to be real with you. See, today's a day we're going to be feeling guilty. And there's always a part of me.
Guilty love.
Yeah, and then there's a part of me that kind of misses the fighting.
Yeah, because there was drama and storyline to it.
Yeah, it was like your guy.
WWE.
Like, your guy was fighting for, like, your city.
Yeah. Like, Dave Brown, Ty Domi's coming down.
I know, Dave Brown, let's go. You know.
Ding, ding, ding.
Like, that was a separate thing. Like, you obviously wanted the game to watch. Now, I don't want to be, you know, Neanderthal man. And I guess that's part of it. But, you know, it was a subplot.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like it was an interesting subplot.
Yeah, I mean, it's like going to a race and you want to see a wreck. because right. you don't want anybody to get hurt, and there's a risk that there's an inherent risk. But seeing, like, when I went to Talladega, I'm going, you know, like, I want to see a car coming off turn two upside down. And then the great part is watching the guy get out of it. You know, he's in the catch fence, the whole thing. I saw Bill Elliott right in front of me, upside down in a McDonald's car. I'm like, whoa, 200 miles an hour. You know, it's crazy. But those are the things you want to see. You want to see car crash. You want to see big hits. So when we come back in, we're going to play this audio of Bob Costas. Now, he's been in the news because he did the E60 thing on ESPN about why he was taken off the Super Bowl.
Yeah, listen, it's one that's tough, man. It's really, really difficult. It's going to put you... We had scratched the surface. Do you remember this?
With Tyrone.
We scratched the surface. Right. Tyrone came in here and we were talking about the sport. And he kind of pulled out some of my own guilt.
Yeah.
That I feel about loving football. And Costas does the same thing, but even bigger.
Yeah, so this that comes out on ESPN, the E60 report. So I mined for some audio. And I found some audio that we're going to play next. And I want to get people's reaction to it. Because we all love football. Maybe we love it less now than we did before. Maybe we love it more. I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't think it's love less.
No, I don't. Well, some people don't like it as much because the physicality's been taken out of it. Mm. So we'll talk about it. 610-632-0975. This is the Midday Show. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez on the Fanatic.
All right, bet with the best, the sportsbook that caters to the 4-for-4 fan. Parks Casino, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Parks has it all for the sharps or for the first-time sports bettor. They make it easy to get your action in. You can bet spreads and parlays and teasers and props and much more right there in the sportsbook inside the casino. It's an oasis. All the action on the big screens right in the middle of the casino. All right, I'm going to be there tonight, 6 o'clock every Thursday. We're going to be out and about at one of Parks' great properties. And tonight, Parks Casino off the street road from 6 to 7. They got it all. The sports betting kiosk throughout the casino. You can make your bets and print your tickets 24 hours a day. The Bet Slip Builder app. You can also place your sports bets on the way to the game at the South Philadelphia Turf Club on Packer Avenue near the stadiums. Sports betting now available at the South Philly Turf Club, Parks Casino. Lots of food options, too. Liberty Bell Gastro Pub, Parks Grill Steakhouse, the beautiful new beer garden, Olivetto Italian Restaurant, Bamboo Noodle House, and, of course, the great Chickies and Pete's. Bet with the best, the sportsbook at Parks Casino, PA's number one casino. Must be 20.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
One gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. When you're searching for windows, search windownation.com.
All right, and we want to throw this into the mix, and it's not a subject I look forward to discussing, but it needs to be discussed.
Because yeah, quite frankly, we've avoided it.
Yeah, I mean, not on purpose. I mean, we had Sixer stuff that was more pressing.
Yep.
But this is a subject that is very important to discuss, and I love football. I love it.
One of your biggest passions in life.
It is. Love it. I love the sport. I love the X and O of the sport, the strategy element of it. I love it. Love the whole lead up to it. It's just the perfect sport in my eyes.
Yeah, the way the league sets up their year.
Yeah.
Every element of it. You know, we all want to play GM. That's why we played fantasy football and everything else.
I wrote a book that really glorified the sport. And it took it from, called the NFL Unplugged. And it kind of took you through the eyes of, 50, 60 players I talked to, including coaches and being around, watching film, and being embedded with the Eagles for a long time. So it took you from training camp and then through preseason, the season, but a game, what happens pregame, you know, kickoff, what happens during a kick, you know, and actually melded the book into what was a game.
Yeah.
You know, leading halftime, stuff that happened, and, you know, all kinds of little nuances. So I love it. I love everything about it. Bob Costas was taken off the Super Bowl by NBC.
Yeah. This was the year the Eagles were in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because on November 17th.
CBS had it this year.
Yeah. November 17th of 2017, he had some things to say about the game and the effect that it's not. And he said this on, you know, he's been an outspoken guy. He speaks out on things all the time and always has. That's part of what you get with Bob Costas. And whether you like that or not, or you agree or disagree with him, that's what comes. But so he goes on and he says, you know, football is dangerous and players are being affected negatively, essentially, is what he said. And the byproduct of that was NBC executives called him and said, you cross the line. You can't say these things. We have a partnership. And with everything that's come out about concussions and the NFL's culpability and what they knew and what they didn't know. So he's taken off the Super Bowl in his last year. You know, it was his last year to do it, too, because his contract was up and he was moving on. So there's a Q&A, like a James Lipton type sit down that he does with a guy. And this is what he had to say regarding the NFL.
I like football to the extent that I like it. Mm-hmm. And baseball is my favorite sport. But I like football to the extent that I like it, despite its violence, not because of it. Mm-hmm. I think that the violence and the level of violence in the National Football League and its celebration by parts of the media, I mean, up until recently, ESPN used to have a feature called He Got Jacked Up. Mm-hmm. And they had their commentators, some of them career announcers, some of them former players, chortling like drunken frat boys, he got jacked up. And then they would say, well, of course, none of the people featured in these plays was seriously hurt. But the only difference between those plays and plays that result in catastrophic injuries, including paralysis, is luck and happenstance. And when you have a game where players celebrate, they don't celebrate good plays and clean tackles that Amos Alonzo Stagg would have taught. They celebrate the hit that blows the opponent up, and they stand over him, and they celebrate it. The game is unacceptably brutal. Can I say it any more clearly than that? It is unacceptably brutal.
All right. So that those two words, unacceptably brutal, that it doesn't get more powerful, including and the fact that it's coming from Costas, a guy who broadcasts football, a guy who's looked at as one of the great American sportscasters. It's really difficult. Now, there's certain things I disagree with. I think, you know, the game is trying to lessen the blows. There has been a concerted effort to not to celebrate as much the big hits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at it, they're being downplayed. So, like, I don't know that it's just complete savagery the way Costas portrays it.
Yeah, and in the beginning of the cut, before he even gets to unacceptably brutal, he says, I like football. I love football despite its violence, not because of its violence.
Right.
And that really kind of twisted my brain, because I'm going, okay, why do I like it? Why do I love? Because I love hockey. You know that I wear it on my as a badge of honor. I love football equally because I love everything about. I love the time of year.
Right.
I love everything about it. Well, I love
you
the
and
week,
I
the
have
week.
This weird thing because you and hockey and me and basketball. Mm-hmm. It's kind of equal to our love of. And baseball, to that matter, of football, but look at your sport. Look at
it's very violent.
I mean, hockey. We were just joking about the fighting, right? If you look at your sport, it is a brutal sport.
Malka just swung a stick at a guy's head, could have taken his eye out.
Yeah,
yeah.
How many? You're firing a missile 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, a vulcanized rubber.
Yeah,
that could and it ha- not could has ended people's careers. Look at a guy like Ian LaPerriere.
Oh my God!
Went to block a shot, blocked it with his face against the Devils. Never played again. Well, I tried to, but it ended it.
No, I mean, like, you
the
know,
concussions in that sport.
Well, I mean, because you want to talk about collisions, it's one thing when you have a defensive lineman and an offensive lineman engaged. It's another thing when you got a guy that's going to crunch someone against the boards.
Yeah, an object that can't move.
Yeah.
Because there's no sideline to run out.
And you're on skates, so there's a speed element to it.
Yep. And look, there was a thing done from ESPN Sports Science a few years ago. An NHL hit is 17% harder than an NFL hit, even though NHL players are 20% smaller on average. But the brutality of sports, and Bob Costas, that line of, I love the NFL despite its violence, not because of it. And I love the physicality of all sports. I like the fact that there's an intimidation factor. When Ronnie Lott played football, a tight end going across the middle was scared.
Oh my God! I mean, you don't need to go there. You just go right here to the gangrene defense,
and they were violent.
We loved it. There's a game that we celebrate called the body bag game.
Yeah.
There's another game that we celebrated called the House of Pain game
and Bounty Bowl. I mean, if that doesn't speak to what Bob Costas is talking about, and you're right, we celebrate those.
I mean, the body bag game.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, again, it makes you feel guilty.
It's prehistoric.
But there's something that it's not, I like to view it as not complete savagery.
I see what you're saying.
You know,
yeah.
So he goes and he says, not every kid is celebrated, and you know, you celebrate touchdowns and the sport itself.
Like a Sheldon Brown hit on Reggie Bush, we celebrate.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not denying we celebrate big hits.
Yeah,
but you know, the idea of hitting your opponent and then standing over him. I mean, you know, like part of the game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, you're taunting him in the sense of standing over him. Well, I mean, that intimidation is meant so that receiver doesn't come across the middle again. Or comes across the middle in a tentative fashion.
It's like Muhammad Ali standing over another fighter.
Like, so if you're going to have, you know, if you're going to have boxing, you're going to have MMA, I mean, you know, that's the inherent risk you take.
Yeah.
Like, baseball's a... Now, but I think part of Costas is, and his take is a little self-serving.
Because he's a baseball...
He sees that baseball is starting to gray a bit among the masses, right? It's been overtaken by not just football, but...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.